Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And I have been trying to make my way up to the Millennial Kingdom. If you've been following the past few months, I started off several months ago trying to reach the Millennial Kingdom in talking about it, what the Bible has to say. And so in order to do that, we had to go back and deal with the catching away of the believers, the rapture of the church, as it's called, and then also the revelation of the Antichrist and the tribulation period and Armageddon, a number of different things like that. And I think today we're going to make it into the Millennial Kingdom here. So I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But before we do that, couple of things I want to do, certainly remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me, and you can also find out about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And just to let you know, coming up on Sunday, this coming Sunday, it's Christmas Eve, we have a special Christmas Eve candlelight service in lieu of our regular Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve this coming Sunday. We have our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we will be singing some songs celebrating the birth of Christ. And then I'm going to do our annual Christmas reading. It's all from the King James Bible, the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. And we do that kind of by candlelight, and so we can just kind of focus on Christ and what the Bible has to say about the birth of Christ. And then after that, we will take some time to share what God has done for us in the past year, give thanks for some of the things God's blessed us with or done for us. And again, I was telling Pastor Lutz as he was heading out, it's kind of nice because, you know, Christmas always seems to be so focused on what am I getting or what am I giving? What is somebody doing for me? What am I doing for somebody? And we like this idea of spending a few minutes just to focus and think about, what has God done for me? What has God given to me in this past year? Because we get caught up in so many things, the hustle and bustle of the Christmas celebrations. And also we look back at the year and all the trouble and the difficulty and things that we've seen. And it's nice just to take some time to think about, what has God done for us? Just a reminder, you know, just a remembrance. And that's one of the reasons that the Hebrews were enjoined to celebrate certain holy days or holy feast days, and that was to commemorate. We think of Passover, very easy, to commemorate God's delivering them from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. And of course, they also had prophetic meanings as well, I understand that. But a lot of the holy days were to commemorate so they could remember things that God had done, and in the process of remembering, that it would be encouraging to anticipate that the same God that has blessed us in the past and done things for us in the past will continue to bless us and do things for us in the future. And so we'll be talking about more of that in the coming year, of course. And I do want to remind you that coming up on Christmas Eve, our Sunday night service, we're on from 10 till midnight, and have a special program plan for you. My good friend Pastor John Lutz, who was just on here in the last half hour from 1 o'clock to 1:30 with his program for the Cause of Christ, and he pastors the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. Pastor John Lutz will be with me on the program Sunday night. And we will be talking about Christmas. We'll be talking about the birth of Christ. We'll be talking about December 25th, Christmas tree, why it was necessary for Jesus to become a man and dwell among us, a number of things like that. And so that'll all be this Sunday, be a special program. And We will not have the phone calls open because it will not be able to do that this coming Sunday night. And so I just wanted to mention that. Tune in Sunday night. It'll be a special program, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you this Christmas. And also, talking about different Christmas things, some of the things that we'll be talking about, I have in my Christmas collection, again, at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I have our Christmas collection there, and it's several articles, The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well. That's the most recent one, talking about the same spirit that promoted Herod to kill the Jewish babies. Is the same spirit that's promoting anti-Semitism and the destruction of the destruction, the murder, and the mayhem on October 7th with the Hamas there as they attacked Israel. And that spirit of Herod's alive and well in the world today. And then, O Christmas Tree or Idolatry, looking at Jeremiah and whether or not that has anything to do with the Christmas tree. And as I said before, and I'll keep saying it again, if you take your tree and you scrape off all the bark and all the limbs and then carve it into the shape of somebody or something and then hammer gold and silver plate on it so that it looks like it's made completely of gold or silver, and then bow down to it and worship it, then yes, Jeremiah is talking about your Christmas tree. But unless you do those things, Jeremiah is really not talking about the Christmas tree that's standing in people's houses. And then why was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ necessary? And of course, the big reason right there is the sin nature that comes from father to child. And Jesus had to have a virgin birth, not only to fulfill the prophecy that a virgin would be with child and bear, you know, bear a son, but also that it would avoid Jesus receiving a sin nature. And then who were the shepherds? Why did the angels appear to a certain group of shepherds watching their flocks by night? Was it just any group that just happened to be in the neighborhood? No, they were probably Levitical shepherds overseeing the birth of the lambs that would be used for Passover. And so there's some very important symbolism there in terms of the sign that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And then another one, why was Jesus made a little lower than angels? Well, the only way that they would have been able to put Jesus on the cross is if he had taken on the form of a man, could not have put him on the cross had he not veiled himself in human flesh. But also he needed, of course, to be able to experience life, be tempted like as we are, and yet still be without sin. And then we have the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures, which is purely a scriptural narrative put together of Old Testament Bible prophecies concerning the birth of Christ, the fulfillment in the Gospels, and some other comments in the New Testament, all strung together to give us an account of the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And then two parodies, it was the night before Winterfest. And that's one. The other one is how the ACLU stole Christmas with apologies to Dr. Seuss. I'll have a reading of Twas the Night Before Christmas, or I'm sorry, Twas the Night Before Winterfest on the program Sunday night. And we will be finishing out the program reading the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. Both that will be on Sunday night, the birth of Christ reading in the last half hour after 11:30. And I think the 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest will be in the second half hour just after 10:30. And so that's coming up. And then, of course, I put in there two things. I almost forgot that we had two word searches on Christmas. And one of them you'll see was one of the earlier editions. And the other one is a later one where it has a lot more words. And you can download those and enjoy them, and their word searches just based on Christmas and the Bible. So hopefully that'd be a blessing to you. All right, with all that in mind, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll hit on a few more things here as we work our way to the millennial kingdom. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless, Lord, as we look forward to this coming Sunday, as we can spend time in our churches is anticipating and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just pray that you would bless our program coming up Sunday night, Pastor Lutz and I, as we talk about Christmas and explore some of the thoughts with that. And then, Lord, do pray that you would bless now today. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody today. Use the program to help those that are searching and point them toward Christ. And we also pray that you would help us to be an encouragement and a blessing to those that are seeking to serve you and live for you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity we had to serve and to be used in for your glory. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, check us out, as I said, online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I want to mention, too, before I get in there, our study here, one quick update here on the SAFE Act, House Bill 68, which, of course, passed the House and Senate, and it passed the Senate and went back to the House for an okay of a couple of changes that the Senate made. All that took place last week, went to the governor's desk. Governor DeWine has it at his desk. I've not heard anything yet. He has 10 days to sign House Bill 68 into law. And give you an idea of what can happen, and also encourage you, pray for Governor DeWine and call him. You can call him and you can send him an email. There's any number of things that you can do. You can call DeWine's office at 614-466-3555. That's 614-466-3555, and urge him to sign a House Bill 68, the SAFE Act, into law. And you can go online at ohiohouse.gov, that's ohiohouse.gov, and search the legislation for HB 68, that's House Bill 68. And when you find that legislation, if you want to know the importance of that legislation, let me encourage you, go to ohiohouse.gov, search for HB 68 in the legislative search tab, and when you get there, go through there and look at, I think you click on the committee thing, and it'll give you the testimonies of some of the people, including some of these people, such as Chloe Cole, that are detransitioners, people who were forced to transition from male to female or vice versa, and the horrible experience that they're going through today. And their testimony is just, if you wanted to reason why we should support and urge Governor DeWine to sign HB 68, look at some of those testimonies of the people who are giving testimony in support of HB 68. You can find all that. Go to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov, and search for House Bill 68 in the legislative search tab. But three things can happen. One is the governor can veto this legislation. And the question then is, if he vetoes it, will the Senate and the House overturn it? They have the votes, but will everybody that voted for it the first time vote to overturn the governor's veto? So that's one thing that could happen. The other thing that could happen is he could sign it, and then it will go into effect in a certain length of time, 90 days or whatever. It'll go into effect, and that would be great. That would be the best thing. But there is another option here. It could be he lets the 10 days run out, and at the end of the 10 days, it will become law without his signature. And, you know, he could do that. So one of those three things is likely to happen. I think the best thing that he can do, the governor can do, is sign House Bill 68 and into law. Well, pray for the governor. Pray for our state. We sure need it. Well, as I said, we're talking about working our way up to the millennial kingdom of God, and let's get into that right now. And last week, we were in Revelation chapter 19, going into Revelation chapter 20, and we were talking about the events of the Battle of Armageddon. And you see it in Revelation chapter 19. You also see a little more extensive some of the things that are going to be happening in Zechariah chapters 12, 13, 14. I'm not going to go through all of that right now, but I do want to touch on this. Two things that happen in the Battle of Armageddon to lead into setting us up for the millennial kingdom of Christ. When Jesus comes back and he defeats the armies of the Antichrist that are gathered together against Jerusalem, and Jesus returns in power and glory in the air, coming in clouds of glory with the armies of heaven with him in Revelation chapter 19. And it says this in verse number 19. Revelation 19, verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. Now, the beast is the Antichrist. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, this is interesting because these are the only two individuals, to my knowledge, in the scriptures, and this would include not only human beings, but angelic beings. These are the only two that are actually cast into the lake of fire at this time. Apparently, no one else, angel or human, goes into the lake of fire until after the millennial kingdom and after the great white throne judgment of God that's in Revelation chapter 20. So for whatever the situation is, the Antichrist and the false prophet, so egregious are their sins and how they were used of the devil, they're going to already be judged and cast alive directly into the lake of fire. No hope for them. And so that's what happens to them. But what happens to Satan? Well, here it is in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So this is where the devil is in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now, this is the fulfillment of what Daniel received in his vision in Daniel chapter 9, where you remember he was given the vision of the 70 weeks of years. And the 70 weeks of years, the purpose of them was that in Daniel 9, verse 25, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression. That's one of the purposes, to finish the transgression. Remember, in the Battle of Armageddon and in the lead up to that, the Jewish people are going to come to recognize Jesus is the Messiah. And that'll fulfill what Paul predicted in Romans chapter 11 when he said, all Israel shall be saved. And we see that happening in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. And so this is to finish the transgression, because they're in transgression right now. They're transgressing against God. Not the least of their transgression is the fact that they do not accept Jesus as the Messiah. They think he's a false Messiah. And then it also says to make reconciliation for iniquity. And that's what also is going to happen there, reconciliation for their iniquity. God is going to deal with them, and when he deals with them, and they recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, and the Spirit of God moves on them, the Bible literally says in Zechariah 13, verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, because he's going to deal with them. In the previous chapter, in chapter 12 and verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And again, this is when they come to know Jesus as their Messiah, and God deals with them. Their sins are forgiven, and he's made reconciliation for iniquity, and then to bring in everlasting righteousness. And this is when Jesus Christ himself is going to come into the world in order to be the king of the world. And he is going to sit upon a throne in Jerusalem. And really, in a sense, he's the embodiment of everlasting righteousness, because Jesus is always righteous and holy because he is God. And that's one of his primary characteristics is his righteousness. You know, the old English word for righteousness literally means full of rightness. And Jesus is from everlasting unto everlasting. You know, if you've got a Bible that says from ancient time or from everlasting or from old times to ancient times or something like that, it's wrong. It's from everlasting to everlasting. And so Jesus is going to come, and he's going to seal up the vision and the prophecy, meaning all these prophecies that were given to the Jewish people of the coming kingdom, and it's going to be sealed up and wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, and they will anoint the Most Holy, which is Christ himself, as the king, and he'll have that title when he comes back. It says in Revelation 19, verse 16, he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, he will ascend up onto the Temple Mount, and it is believed that he will enter in through the Eastern Gate, which was sealed, and actually, people took steps to prevent the Messiah from ever going through there, but he will go through there. And interesting passage in Ezekiel chapter 43, where it talks about the glory of the Lord returning into the temple and into Jerusalem and onto the Temple Mount. Now, remember that the glory of the Lord had departed from Jerusalem, had departed from the temple and left. It went out the Eastern Gate, and it crossed the Kidron Valley and through the Mount of Olives. Almost the same passage that Jesus took when he left before being resurrected, crossed the Temple Mount up onto the Mount of Olives, and then he was lifted up and taken up by a cloud. Listen to this in Ezekiel chapter 43, and starting in verse 1, afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looked toward the east, and behold, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, came from the way of the east. Remember, the Bible says in Zechariah 12 that Jesus is going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in half, and he does that. He's going to come in to Jerusalem. He's going to cross the Kidron Valley, and he's going to come by the way of the east. And he is going to go in, it says, and his voice was like a voice of many waters. And that's the description that John gave in Revelation chapter 1 when he saw Jesus there on the Isle of Patmos. His voice was like the noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. The glory of God's going to shine forth, radiant light shining forth from Christ. And it says this in verse 3, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kebar, when I fell, and I fell upon my face. And it says this, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. The glory of the Lord. This is when Jesus is going to enter into the Temple Mount, into the temple, the rebuilt temple on the Temple Mount. Now, it's going to be a lot of damage and everything from the war and the great earthquakes and all that take place there immediately prior to Jesus' return at the end of the tribulation. And he is going to ascend up on there. He is the glory of the Lord that ascends up on there. And when he does that, he's going to establish his throne there. Now, obviously, the temple during the thousand-year reign of Christ is going to be expanded and refined. And if you read Ezekiel chapter, I'll just start in chapter 40, reading through the end of Ezekiel, you'll see a description of that temple during the millennial kingdom. And it is fascinating. And his kingdom will last 1,000 years. Remember the devil? Bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will reign from Jerusalem over this whole world. And if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll reign with him as well, because the Bible says we will rule and reign with him. Well, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What a better time to trust Christ as your Savior than today, this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, because the birth of Christ, God's gift to this world, makes it possible for us to be there during the millennial kingdom. I hope you'll be there. Well, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a merry, merry Christmas. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.